One of you who responded to our call for a definition of beauty in six words sent this poignant message.
This is Sarissa Wilhelmy in Anchorage, Alaska. Surviving cancer with dignity and grace.
Not bad. That survival is dependent on many things, and the odds of survival are not so pretty for African-American men when it comes to prostate cancer. Black men are more than twice as likely as white men to die from prostate cancer. In partnership with WNYC's Living Cancer series, we look now at how the science of cancer research can fail real people with cancer. Elzie McCord followed all the rules for being vigilant about prostate cancer after pushing to have his PSA, prostate-specific antigen level, tested at age 50 and learning he had prostate cancer. 12 years later, Elzie is now living cancer-free as a professor emeritus of biology at the New College of Florida. But how Elzie managed to beat the odds and what the lower survival rate for African-American men means is the subject of our conversation with Elzie and Dr. Dorado Brooks, Director of Prostate and Colorectal Cancers for the American Cancer Society.
Well, one of the challenges is we don't really understand the biologic underpinnings of the higher rates that we see in black men. And this is not just African-American men, but men of West African origin around the globe have higher rates of prostate cancer and are more likely to die of the cancer. They also are more likely to be diagnosed at earlier ages, and there's some evidence that those earlier cancers may be of the more aggressive form. So there are some things that we don't understand, but we do know that many black men don't get the same quality of treatment, and that can be because of insurance issues, lack of access. There are a lot of men are simply fearful and don't pursue a diagnosis. Many men, unfortunately, in the situation where they have an elevated PSA level, will simply refuse to follow up. They won't go through with the biopsies because of a fear of finding cancer, and not recognizing that finding the cancer and treating it early can save their lives.
Elzie McCord, can you describe your diagnosis and how you felt about the vulnerability to prostate cancer as you began to age out of your 40s?
Yes. I became 50 in 1999. And I needed a baseline PSA because being a scientist, I knew that blacks had a higher propensity of this disease than others. And so I went to my GP and asked for a PSA following the digital rectal exam. And he said that I was too young and that I shouldn't take the exam. So I said, I really need the baseline. And he said, okay, it'll cost you $50. So I paid the $50 and the results was 3.4 nanograms per deciliter. But since he said my prostate was small and pliable, I didn't worry about it. I went back to my doctor 3 years later and I asked the same question. And he said, well, if I'm a betting man, I'd bet you were fine. And I said, I'm not a betting man. Please give me the test. The results was 6.4 nanograms per deciliter. And now I became concerned because the PSA was on the rise.
And what was your treatment and how are you doing right now?
I'm doing fine. It's been 12 years. Since I've been treated. What happened was I could actually access the library databases from my office, and I read review articles on the survival rates of different modalities like operations and so forth. And at that time, operation was the gold standard. And I found myself over time in information overload. However, the mortality rates were the one that stood out foremost in my head. But the final choice or modality was brachytherapy.
What's your impression of Elzie McCord's story, Dr. Brooks?
Well, first, I would applaud Mr. McCord because he's done exactly what it is that we recommend that men do when they're facing a prostate cancer diagnosis, and that is do the research. There are many men for whom surgery actually is a very reasonable and maybe the best approach. But all too often, men who are told they have cancer have the immediate response, get it out, just take care of it. And they don't take the time to recognize that there are other treatment options.
So, Elzie, how does that don't ask, I don't want to know kind of mentality play out in your community of friends? What's the sensitivity? Why don't people want to know?
The medical establishment in the black community has had a tumultuous relationship for quite a long time, and there's a distrust there. I have to agree with that. But then there's another factor in the men that I've talked to, and they ask me, what is involved in screening. And I tell them the digital rectal exam, and they won't really explain that. And some of them says no one is going to approach that part of their body. And it appears that there's some form of homophobia there. But it doesn't make any sense to me, because some of these same guys risk their lives of drinking and driving and texting and driving. And a lot of these things can actually end your life a lot quicker than the digital rectal exam and be a lot more uncomfortable.
Have you ever convinced anyone to get the exam and heard those kinds of excuses, those kinds of fears?
Yes, we have screenings often. And I generally give a talk either around that or at the event. And a lot of people come up and talk to me in private, and because they somehow have this innate fear that some of their friends have had a negative reaction or they didn't get cured, and they tell this friend. And so therefore, by the time the story gets to the person who actually needs it, it is certainly very, very negative.
What is the medical onset issue, Dr. Brooks? How mysterious is that? You alluded to it before, that black men have an incidence of virulent prostate cancer that we don't understand. Is there research being done on that?
There's a great deal of research going on trying to find out why black men have earlier onset of disease. But we do know that most of that difference in survival is related to access to care and the right kind of care. With regard to the screening tests that we have available, the two major screening tests are the digital rectal exam, as has already been discussed, and the PSA, the prostate-specific antigen blood test that Mr. McCord talked about. It's been shown that the PSA alone is an adequate approach to screening. The PSA plus the digital rectal exam provides a little more information, but quite frankly, even with that combination, these are not highly reliable tests. So one thing that we clearly need are better screening tests.
Dr. Dorado Brooks is Director of Prostate and Colorectal Cancers for the American Cancer Society. Dr. Brooks, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, John.
And Elsie McCord, what do you think is the most important thing that you did in the beginning when you turned 50 that is responsible for your survival today for these 12 years?
I believe that me taking charge of my own health was a limiting factor, because if I'd listened to the doctor, I probably would not have been screened. And so therefore, it is incumbent upon other men to actually investigate the possibilities of the disease and ways of curing it.
Elsie McCord is a professor emeritus of biology at the New College of Florida. He was diagnosed with prostate cancer 12 years ago. Elsie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.